This is Tolbert and Lund. Tom Tolbert and John Lund on KNBR, the sports leader.
Rodgers waiting for the snap from Lindsley. Out of the gun. He's got it. Rodgers looks, throws, left. Wide open. Touchdown, Jordy Nelson. It's the Rodgers to Nelson connection. Again and again and again.
What's happening? Thanks for joining us. Jordy Nelson leaves the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, and he is now a Raider. By the way, he's got to be happy about the tournament. K-State's still in it. He's a K-State guy. That's nice. He joins us courtesy of the UMA guest line. Hey, Jordy, what's happening? How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing?
Yeah, we're doing really good. Thanks. Are you a K-State hoops fan?
Absolutely. Like you said, I think they caught a break, obviously, by Virginia going down in the first round. But at this point in time, it doesn't matter. Just win and move on. And obviously, we'll have a tough game. I think it's Thursday night against Kentucky. But you never know in the tournament, as we've seen before.
Hey, with about 4 minutes left, that Maryland-Baltimore County game was still up in the air. I thought they probably, shot it against Virginia, come up with a huge upset, and then you play K-State. I wonder which way it would go, but they battled, man. I'll give them credit. They battled, and with 4 or 5 minutes to go, that game could have gone either way.
Absolutely. We were watching it at the house, and definitely we're not comfortable with what was going on and on a kind of a sloppy game, but you never know. And, yeah, all it takes is a couple of shots made, and all of a sudden it's a completely different outcome.
Well, I went to Arizona, so you're a lot more comfortable than I was.
That's pretty much the response everybody gives Arizona.
I mean, I didn't even have any room for the second.
Exactly.
Getting ready to put on a different jersey after, being in Green Bay as long as you had, how different is that going to be for you the first time you put that on?
I think it will be different. I don't think there's any way you can hide that after wearing the Packer jersey for 10 years. I think each day I'm there in Oakland, coming up here in April, I'll have the first of everything. If it's just the first meeting, the first workout, obviously then when we come into the season, it's the first time to go to the stadium and play and actually put on the full game day uniform. Mm-hmm. will be different, but also I think special at the same time. I think obviously being in Green Bay, a historic organization, and now getting to play for the Raiders, another historic organization in this league, it's an honor and to be a part of that history and hopefully go make some more history.
So tell us why the Raiders. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers told you that Northern California was pretty good, but why did you pick the Raiders?
I think a lot of things. Obviously, the football organization and what Coach Gruden and his assistant coaches are trying to do there. And I think part of it, too, my receiver coach in Oakland now is the same receiver coach I had a few years ago in Green Bay with Edgar Bennett. So that familiarity is, I think, key there. That's one thing I don't have to worry about now going to Oakland. I know what I'm going to get in that meeting room and the expectations when we go out to practice. I think that's where it started. And then, obviously, having a quarterback of the caliber of Derek and what he can do on the field with the ball and the way he can control an offense and seeing him play a little bit, but honestly talking to James Jones, who was out there for a year with Derek, and then Devontae Adams, who played with Derek at Fresno State. So I talked to those guys right away once I knew Oakland was interested to get a feel for, obviously, the type of guy Derek is, but, what he can do as a quarterback. And it just confirmed everything that I had seen while he played the last, few years there. So that had a huge impact, especially being a receiver. I mean, you need a quarterback that can throw you the ball and put it where you need it to be and also put it in some places that allow you to adjust to it. I mean, in this league, it's, you don't create, 5 yards of separation all the time. It's going to be some tight windows, contested catches, and I got to do my part, but allowing him to also be able to put the ball in a certain spot to make those catches. So, and then I spent the day with him and drove around the area where he lives and some other guys live, and, it's kind of eye-opening for me. It was not what, when you hear of Oakland, California, I guess, but obviously it's outside of Oakland and some incredible views of what they call the hills. I told everyone back here in Kansas, we'd call them mountains. They call them hills because they actually have mountains. So, but they're mountains to us. So we'll see the mountains for a couple of years. And so look forward to it. And our family looks forward to it. I got 3 kids and to spend some time out in California. We're trying to convince them that it's okay to move. And we keep telling them that there's Legoland out there. So now they're jacked to go. They don't care what else is going on.
Where do you live in the off season?
We stay in Green Bay year-round. We're in Kansas right now just on some spring break time, but my oldest is in second grade, so once he started going to school, we stayed in Green Bay year-round.
Hey, let me tell you something. All you got to do, the beach, you can do anything here. Just take them out here. I don't know if they've already been out here, and we're getting some rain right now, so it's not so great, but I'm telling you, they won't miss winter for a second.
Well, that's why I was giving Coach Gruden and those guys a hard time. They're trying to sell me on California and how great it was, and it's raining both
yes,
days
I
and I was there. It's like, all right, if I want this, I'll just go on up to Seattle and play there. But, you know, I know the real weather in California is a little better. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't tell them Legoland's about a 9-hour
yeah, it's a ways.
9-hour drive.
Yeah, it's yeah. in California.
Yeah, it's in California.
Yeah.
I told you it was in California. I wasn't lying.
They don't have a team down there anymore, so don't worry about that. You can get there quick enough, though. You can get down there quick enough.
Jordy, how big a deal was going to a team that had a chance to get to the playoffs and do something? You've been doing that your whole career in Green Bay. I would imagine that at this stage of your career, you weren't looking forward to going to a team that, you know, was rebuilding or maybe didn't have a great chance to get to the playoffs.
Absolutely. You play the game to win, especially at my age and where I am in my career. You really don't want to be, in a rebuilding process or developing with a rookie quarterback or something like that. So that had a huge impact. And I know they had a little down year last year, but the year before they were ready to make a run at it. And obviously they had the injury to Derek and what happened there and kind of flipped everything upside down. But absolutely, you know, I think they're extremely close. I think they got some key pieces. I know they've been adding a lot of pieces this offseason and are still trying to do some things. So it's exciting. I think, there's a lot of probably excitement and momentum around the organization and the fan base with Coach Gruden coming back and everything else. And so it's fun to be a part of. And, I've learned it with being in Green Bay with winning a Super Bowl in that kind of an organization. And if we're fortunate enough to, you know, get hot at the right time and go win another one and win some playoff games, you know, you can kind of stamp your part on the history of another, you know, great organization.
Jordy Nelson, Raiders wide receiver, is good enough to join us. In regards to Gruden, how big of an influence was he in your decision to come here?
A little bit. I mean, I think there's a lot of factors, and I don't know how much one outweighed the other. But knowing his football mind, being around him a little bit just through TV and doing, production days on Monday night and whatnot, but also an offense that's very similar to what I ran in Green Bay for the last 10 years. I think the West Coast offense has gotten broader and broader and, you know, very vague now with all the different changes that's came to football and every coach adding their new thing. But it's very similar, a lot of the same routes, a little bit of different terminology, but stuff that I should be able to understand and pick up right away and be able to learn right away, but also be able to teach some younger guys about it and, you know, the way to do, you know, run certain routes and stuff like that to kind of be the leader in the room as well.
How long does it take you, Jordy, from the time you get a new playbook? Let's see, you said it's similar, so we'll go with it. It's a similar style scheme, but how long before the terminology is second nature to you, where you're not thinking your way through it anymore? You just, as soon as something's called, you know exactly what's expected of you.
I don't know. I think obviously I haven't had a new one in 10 years,
yeah.
So it's been a while. And I think a rookie year, it's hard to base that off of because you're dealing with so much new things, a new organization, a new team, new playbook, the new level of football. So I think the confidence that I'll have playing the game will still be there. So that'll put me a little bit more ease. But, you know, I think once we get through this offseason of IPWs and OTAs, I'm pretty confident I'll have it down. And, you know, the way at least it's been the last few years, we're able to put through the installs a couple times and have a good grasp on it. And come training camp, you know, should be able to, you know, start playing fast and not, like you said, not having to think every time you break the huddle. It's more of a reaction thing. So, and then once you get comfortable with the routes and the plays, it's back to playing football.
I got to ask this, and I'm glad I remembered it. If I'd have forgot it, I would have punched myself in the face after I got done with the interview. What does New York Bozo mean? New York Bozo.
See, it's already started. They're trying to get the secrets out of Green Bay.
I just want to know what New York Bozo means.
Yeah, I don't know if I can release that information.
Okay.
Classified stuff. See.
Well, give me. You don't have to give me the exact play if it's a play, but is it is it an adjustment? Is it like what is it when he said? Do the N, the Y, and the Bozo correspond to something? Does the N and the B correspond to something? And who came up with the name?
Well, I'll say Aaron came up with the name and probably everything that it meant. So each week he has different codes. I mean, because now, I mean, he hates it, but all the microphones that are all over the field now, you can hear every conversation that's going on during the play. So if he's trying to ID a back or, you know, sometimes middle backers will be mugged and they kind of go off the point of the center and then the other guy will come if they know they're sliding a certain way. So it's a big cat and mouse game. And so each week he'll change some things up and just to keep the defense, you know, off kilter a little bit and not knowing what's going on. So I'm pretty sure that's when we played the Giants, I think, is when that came out. So obviously New York, and I don't know what the Bozo is exactly for, but it was, you know, communication between him and his offensive line on what they're wanting to do or not wanting to do. You know, like I said, it's a big cat and mouse game.
We love it. Here, just go ahead and throw that in there, B. Smith.
Hey, check New York Bozo! New York Bozo! New York Bozo!
That's outstanding.
It's incredible how clear that is.
Is that?
Unbelievable.
Well, that would we
you
hear
guys
this?
You got to watch it on the field, don't you?
What do we hear this year from Roethlisberger? Dilly dilly.
Yeah.
Dilly.
Yeah.
All that stuff. That's hilarious. You got to laugh at some of that stuff. Hey, Richard Sherman was just introduced across the bay, and obviously you guys had battles for the 49ers. And he's coming off an Achilles. He's 30 years old, and people are counting him out. And I got to imagine that you're motivated by the same type of things. 33 years old, had a couple of injuries, and people are going, I don't know if Jordy Nelson has it. How much does that motivate you?
Not much, because I don't want to waste my energy on it.
Okay.
I think a lot of people they use the age number. I mean, they said the same thing about me when I was 31 and coming off of an ACL, and I had 1,200 yards and 14 touchdowns, and, you know, it went away pretty quick. And then, you know, I think they throw it out there that way. If you have a bad year, it's an easy go-to. And if they have a good year, they act like they never said it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's just a number. I think guys are – one doctor told me one time that male athletes' peak time is 28 to 32. So, and I've had some of my best years between 28 and 32. And, you know, and I think I think it's even leaning more higher than 32 just because of the way guys take care of their bodies, the nutrition that we get day in and day out, the amount of time and money that they spend, even in the off season, to make sure the body's ready to go, all the different therapies that you can do to recover, you know, and make sure you're full go come Sunday. So, you know, I think it's hard to put a number on it. I think age is a number. I think everyone's different. Sometimes I feel like I felt worse when I was 17 years old playing high school football than I do coming off an NFL game sometimes. So I think it all varies. And sometimes guys will get, you know, you might get banged up with an ankle and people don't know about it and it could hurt you, you know, throughout the season, and you're just battling it where you might not recover from it as fast. But I think for age, it's just a number, and it's a year-to-year thing. You know, I don't think you can sit here and say I'm going to play until I'm 34, and then I'm done, because when I hit 35, there's no way I can play. It's after I'm 34 and I get ready to turn 35, I'll see how the body feels, see how it came out the year before, and you're good to go or you're not. So every year is different. Everybody's body is different, but I think age is a completely overrated to a point. I mean, look what Tom Brady's doing. And they tried to write him off, what was it, 3 years ago when they got blown out in Kansas City. So I said it was all over. And he's, I think, maybe won two Super Bowls since. So it's one of those things that it's an easy thing to throw out there to say why guys are struggling. But, you know, I don't think it's that important.
It certainly seems, Jordy, like nowadays, I'd say over maybe the last 10 years for athletes, that keeping your body in tip-top shape is, I don't want to say more important than ever, because it's always been important, but it's been more of a focus for guys, because it's easier to do now. You have a lot of information at your fingertips. I'm not saying I shouldn't say it's easier to do, because it's still tough for a lot of us or a lot of guys out there to get it done. You still have to have a tremendous amount of discipline, but it just seems like now guys that really are dedicated and disciplined to taking care of their body year-round can extend their careers and be more productive, and you know that you've given everything you can give, and you can go out there and play with a free mind. I just think there's so many benefits to going out there and doing that, and a lot of guys are finding that out.
Absolutely, and I think we also can look at since the new CBA, the change in our schedule.
Yeah.
By taking 2 days out of training camp. I mean, you got to think honestly, games or years that can take off a guy's career, just that constant banging, especially if you're looking interior running backs, linebackers and stuff like that. They're not actually tackling in practice, but they're just not taking them to the ground. So I think that's an adjustment that's allowed, which is great for the league because you're allowing your top players to stay in the league longer, which is great for everybody. So I think, you know, our off season shorter, training camp isn't as rough as it used to be back in the day of, you know, 2 days, 3 hours of practice each practice for a whole month and everything else. So I think all those are great adjustments to allow us, you know, not just post career, but in career to be as healthy as possible and play as long as possible. Cause that's what we all want to do. And I think that's what fans want too. They want, you know, guys like Richard Sherman, who's one of the best at his job, to play as long as he can at the top level. And then, you know, eventually the game is going to pass us up and someone else is going to move in. We all know that. The NFL doesn't, you know, wait on anybody, that's for sure. So, but I think all those adjustments, and like you're saying, guys taking it on themselves to be able to fully focus on football. Obviously, you look way back in the day, you know, guys would play football, then go have another job. And so they're not quite able to focus, and they had training camp to get in shape and get ready to play. But we're able to dedicate ourselves, since we are so, you know, blessed financially, to really focus on our bodies and our health and being prepared for the next season, you know, 12 months out of the year.
Let's see if Jordy is the first wide receiver here to be honest with this question. As a wide receiver, you do feel bad for DBs, don't you, with all the rules that are stacked against them?
I'll be honest, I do. And I feel bad for all defensive players, especially with the targeting rule and the amount of fines that get thrown out. I think the league is somewhat – I know they're taking a hard stance on it, which I kind of agree with. But also, I think there's as a person sitting there, and definitely a guy who's played the game, sitting there, you can tell the intent of someone, and then you can also tell – because, like, for me, when a receiver kind of, like, goes down to catch a ball
– yeah.
And then, like, we actually accidentally put our head where their head was going, and then they get, you know, flagged and fined. And you see it in college games, and guys get kicked out of games for it. Yep. I think you can see intent. I think you can see when it's elevated. But there's also, I mean, two guys moving extremely fast and going after the same thing, it's accidents. And, you know, it's part of the game. But I just, you know, there's no perfect way to do it. But, yeah, I've said multiple times, I'm glad I don't play defense. They get money taken out of their pocket daily. And just for playing football.
Yeah. Hey, what's a catch?
We
don't have time for that. We don't have time for that at all.
I honestly think it's simple. I don't think it's that hard, to be honest with you.
It's not.
I don't. And I think it's, again, another easy target for the media to talk about. I think there is a little human element to it. But my explanation for that is the same thing. What's the strike zone in baseball?
Mm-hmm.
You have a set strike zone, you have certain rules, but each umpire has its own, you know, some umpires like it higher, some like it, you know, have a wider strike zone, some have a taller or lower strike zone. So there's still the human element, and I don't think you can ever take that away. I think part of the issue is when you're really able to slow it down and, you know, in replay, and you see everything that's going on. But I think you can tell when there's bang, bang, and then obviously going to the ground. As a whole other conversation, that's one I don't think we get into. I had a good conversation during our media session with the Packers this last year about it, and guys like, well, once the two hands are on the ball, it's a catch. I'm like, so you're saying if I jump up in the air and catch the ball and I haven't touched the ground yet, it's a catch? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, no, that's impossible. I mean, we'd have 100 fumbles a game just by off of that. So, I mean, it's I don't know. And you have to have some sort of rule and some sort of line. And, you know, main thing is catch it and stand up with it.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I always say they should have receivers, officials, maybe even quarterbacks, coaches sit in a room, a whole bunch of them, and have like 100 different replays and ask each one of them to write down on a sheet of paper, catch or no catch, and then compile it at the end and then say, okay, this is what you guys decided. Majority is catch, no catch. It's never going to be perfect. I agree with you. I think the strike zone is a good analogy. But a lot of times if you know football – you know what it like. You can tell what looks like. I may not be able to explain it to you, but I can tell you pretty close what is a catch and what isn't a catch. And I think we got to get back to letting these guys, the officials, use their brains a little bit.
Right. I was actually, the year I was out with my ACL, I was supposed to go to New York and meet with the league office with a bunch of former players about the catch, no catch rule. And that's what they did. They had a video. I wasn't able to make the meeting because of weather in Green Bay, so I did it on a phone call. Mm-hmm. I was able to see. I had the video in front of me on the computer. And it was the same thing. They didn't get to 100 yeah. situations, but there might have been 25 or 50 of them when we mm-hmm. ran through them. And, like, say, out of the 50, they were all – everyone was like, catch, no catch, catch, no catch. And then there was some of, like, maybe three or four that people – guys were like, ooh, that's a tough one. Yeah. And, like, there might have been some debate or hesitation on it. But, I mean, if you're 46 out of 50, I mean, it's pretty yeah. – I mean, I think everyone has a pretty good idea. And like I said, those were all guys who played the game and and understand what is necessary. And I think one guy made a good point. I can't remember which one it was, but he's like, part of the issue, the fundamentals of the game have gone away. Guys don't catch and, you know, tuck it away right yeah. away. They're holding it away from their body, so you can't tell if they've actually caught it and maintained possession or they're still in the process of catching it. So, you know, we could probably honestly help ourselves with that as well.
Yeah.
Great stuff. Jordy, your family's going to love it here, I promise. Tons of stuff to do. I know you're going to enjoy Derek Carr and Amari Cooper and all those guys. So, anyway, good luck to you. Thanks for the few minutes. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon.
No problem. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Thanks, Jordy.